Hello, welcome to Nintendo Nostalgia. I'm your host, Jacob Rush, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Black, and we are back, and we're playing with power, and Happy New Year, everybody. It's 2024. We are glad to be here. I don't know about where you guys live, but I actually got to wake up to a bit of maybe an inch and a half of snow outside for the first time this season. It's about about two weeks exactly late. But hey, that, you know what, the holidays are over, so it only makes sense to snow now. So, I'm happy that to have some snow. But we'll be busy cleaning my house all day because of the winter break. It is a pit and it's time to get out of the pit. Ryan, how are you doing, man? Happy New Year.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Happy New Year to all of our listeners. Yeah, I'm doing great. Moving into the new year, so far so good. Cautiously optimistic about the year. Definitely going to be a year of managing finances really carefully. Increases in insurance and everything, and medical bills and procedures coming up. We got to be careful with that. But I'm looking forward to just like finding the joy that in this year that isn't necessarily related to money. Like we can hang out and we can do things and we can, you know, play card games that we have, and we can go to events. We don't have to do things that cost money, because that's kind of a big thing. Like, you know, like we aren't going to have a lot of that. So it'd be nice to just go and do events and create and build community. Whereas we don't have a whole lot of friends right now. And so if we can go to new places and meet with people and make friendships and stuff, I think that would be long lasting, even beyond what we can afford and purchase and stuff like that. So
cool, man. Cool. I like that. I like that a lot. Ryan and I decided that, you know, we wanted to put, we will continue on with our journey with Mario. After this week, we wanted to really just kind of do an episode. We haven't done really just a regular episode. I know the last one we did was Christmas themed, but this one, we just want to do an episode, have a topic and talk about it, and, kind of just catch up with each other and everyone. And then next week we'll continue on with our deep dive of Super Mario World. So, let's talk about what we have been radical rexing about. Okay, Ryan, why don't you go ahead? Go ahead. Yeah, tell me what.
Gosh, I'm rusty excited. On this segment. It's been a while. So let's see. Christmas happened.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Yeah. Not a lot of video game stuff, and even then, the stuff that I got was like so-so as far as like actual video games. But Draco custom made me a Aniki outfit. Got me like the bracelets, the spike bracelets, and the blue T-shirt. And he made it on his Cricut, did the vinyl printing. And he got me the blue Aniki shirt outfit from Splatoon 3. So that was really cool to have that, some Aniki gear. I've always kind of wanted that clothing line. It's pretty cool. So yeah, looking forward to that. Like trying that on and sporting the Splatoon look. Let's see, what else did we do? As far as video games go, I requested a couple of video games on my wish list. One was a personal one to Draco, and he got me Disney Dreamlight Valley with all the expansion stuff. So I've been enjoying that. It's basically an Animal Crossing, but Disney. It's a very chill game, but it's cool. Unlocking Disney characters and going through the Animal Crossing motions of cleaning up your town and building things and getting new items for decorate your characters and your houses and things like that. It's fun. I'm definitely enjoying the references to the Disney character, and it has its own self-contained story. And you're interacting with some of those older Disney characters, but also the newer ones too, like Frozen, and you've got Scrooge McDuck, and you know Donald and Goofy, of course, you know you've got Anna and Elsa and Jack from The Night Before Christmas, and Vanellope von Sweets from Wreck-It Ralph, and you know those characters. It's pretty cool to have them all in one place, like interacting with them like you are Animal Crossing villagers. So, yeah. Definitely a cool game. And then I got Hogwarts Legacy for Christmas, but I guess my sister had ordered it on Amazon for my mom, and somehow they got the UK version. So I'm trying to get that switched out for the US version before I start playing it. Just because the DLC codes would have to be used on a UK shop. And I used to have a UK account, but I just wanted it kind of on my own account. And I wanted to connect my actual Pottermore account to it. So it would be kind of weird to try to do the UK thing. It'd be easier for it was US. Otherwise, I'd totally just play the US, the UK version, because there's, you know, cross plays, or you can play. It's not region specific, but. And then I got Pikmin 1 and 2. Which I'm probably going to exchange that for something else. I don't know what yet. But I have Pikmin 2 on GameCube, and I think I have Pikmin 1 and possibly Pikmin 2 on my, I want to say like Wii U or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure what I have it on, or maybe it was the Wii when they did the redos. Mm-hmm. But I put it on my wish list just as a, like, you know, if you can't find Pikmin 4, like, you know, do that one. And, or I might get Wario or something. I don't know. I haven't decided yet, but, you know, not a lot of video games, but definitely some really cool things like that. Got into Disney Lurkana. Got some more sets and things. You know, I did that all-nighter at Gen Con last year.
Yeah.
To get the first set. And I'm really glad I did, because it was, like, impossible to find. And, you know, so now we've got some of the new set, and we're thinking about playing. We found a couple places in our friendly local game stores that are playing Lurkana events and things. So, I think about getting plugged into that community and playing some Disney Lurkana card game. Let's see. I was able to get a couple movies. I got the two Spider-Man Spider-Verse movies. Mm. It was a collection of the two of them, so that was pretty cool. I'm looking forward to watching those. Also got the D&D movie. I haven't seen that one yet, but I definitely am looking forward to that, watching that one. Yeah, it wasn't a lot of, like, huge gifts, but definitely, like, it was very, very cozy. Yeah. And, you know, that's enough for me. Like, I don't have to have these huge things. Like, yeah, do I need a new computer? Like, yeah, but, like, I don't, like, really, that's not something that I would have wanted. I wanted the, like, more personal stuff, like what Draco made for me.
Yeah.
And I know I've got some Squishmallows here or there. So I got Steamboat Willie. Squishmallow, sorry. You know, I got a pillow pet, my first pillow pet. It was the capybara from Encanto.
Mm.
So, you know, I've been needing a flatter pillow. And so that's been really helping me sleep at night. So yeah, just, you know, just fun things that are also functional. I really, really enjoy those. Yeah, it's been a pretty good holiday overall. Good. I just hope that we can continue on that joy in this new year. I know, like, we've got a lot to look forward to. And I'm kind of curious, Jacob, how did yours fare? How did your whole what are you reticulating about?
Yeah, I mean, my Christmas break overall was pretty dang good. Christmas was great. I got a handful of good things. Very blessed. Got some eShop money, and I even got some PlayStation online money, which is cool. New for me. I ended up, game-wise, I got Mario RPG. I bought the Jurassic World Park collection finally.
Good. Hope that's good.
Yeah, it is great. I bought Final Fantasy VII Remake on the PS5, like the cool. PS5 version. So there's like it's got a different name to it, where it's got like a DLC to it. It's not just called Final Fantasy VII Remake. I can't
Integrate?
Yeah, Integrate. That's it. Yes. It's definitely a different type of Christmas for me. I'm playing RPGs and just loving it. So, like, I've been going back and forth between Mario RPG and Final Fantasy. The thing about Final Fantasy is I really only like to play. I don't like to play it when my kids are home, or
yeah,
even when the wife's home. Well, not that it's just gritty. It's just that I don't like to play it because it's like a freaking movie, man. It's like a freaking movie.
Yeah, you don't want to get distractions.
No, like, I was trying to play it over break, and my wife and stepdaughter came home, and they came into the room I was in, and they're talking, they're on their phones, and they're laughing, and my daughter's playing some silly game on her phone, and it's loud. I'm just like, I can't even hear what they're saying during these cutscenes. I'm just like, all right.
Yeah.
And I just stopped and switched over to Mario RPG, which is definitely fun. I've played most of that game handheld. I did get this cool Switch portable thing I asked for, and it's in the colors of GameCube. So it's like a giant indigo GameCube casing around my Switch. Cool. And the controllers are like on the side, and the buttons and joysticks are the same colors of what the GameCube is. So I feel like I'm playing a portable GameCube, cool. which is really cool. Nice. I really enjoyed it. But I've just played the crap out of those two games mostly. Oh, I also got Batman Arkham Trilogy. I got it because I never played the first or the third. So I eventually play it online. The one I'm most excited about is actually the first, because I remember back in the day when that came out, and this was the era that Nintendo got no third-party support, so it was a dream to even think that it would come to Nintendo. So I've always wanted to play that one. I have played City, and
a good one on Wii U.
I played Origins. Yeah. Oh yeah. When Jack's been playing City, and it's just like coming back to me that I think it was like 2013. I got that for Christmas and for Wii U, and like that was my obsession. I loved that game.
Yeah.
So really cool to have those games. I've almost beaten RPG. I'm right outside Smithy. I'm about halfway through Final Fantasy VII. Cool. And I think I'm OP in RPG, my RPG, because no enemy is a challenge for me. Like I keep I have done what I hate. I just keep grinding. I like literally we all just I feel like it's easier to upgrade, like to get to the next level in this. It's not like Pokemon where like you get like a little bit like you can fight a Pokemon then you get like 2 experience points. If you like, you know how like the stronger you get, the less experience. This game is pretty it's pretty even across the board. It's like random. You can get like 8 and you can get 35 and the whole team upgrades as you go. So I feel like I'm really every time like I just fought the dragon boss last night. Spoilers, he's in the volcano, and I mean I didn't die one time and I beat it probably less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And from my memory in the original Mario RPG game, that was a tough battle. Like it's got 2 parts to it. You think you win and then he comes back for part 2 and it's even has more health than before. So I've really just really enjoyed those. Like I said, it's tough because the game I like playing the most is Final Fantasy VII, and like but like I won't boot it up if I know like the kids are home and like they're Jack. Mm-hmm. Like last night I tried to play it and exactly what happened. Like it's bittersweet because my son he wants to sit and watch. Oh, this is awesome, Dad. And then but the whole time he's just wanting to take the controller from me and he wants to play. He wants his own file, and I'm just like, buddy, no, I'm playing right now. Like you get to play all the time. Mm-hmm. But one fun game I did get to do, we did this over New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve for us is really just tiny now. I mean, we really don't do anything. We just kind of have the family together and wait for the ball drop and kill time. We did have Traven join us this year. He came over and he brought his
awesome
mini games. I think we played it at our Christmas party, but it's like, it's this game on Switch, which is a collection of like if you have like an iPad or an iPhone, you play games. You see them maybe even on YouTube. It's just like these stupid cheap little games where like you move the.
Yeah, I bought that game from watching Traven.
Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about. We bought that and we played that.
Those games.
We played that on Switch on New Year's Eve, and like the kids really love it. The kids think it's fun, and they think it's cool to try to overcome these obstacles. It's simple, it's sweet, and so it was really fun. Unexpected. That's an unexpected game. That's just like, on my own, I really wouldn't think about getting it, but because of the kids, that's a game that was kind of, presented, and I think that's cool. So, but besides that, we welcomed in the new year. New year's been going, it's going good.
Good.
We did unfortunately have to put our cat down this week. That wasn't really
heard about that.
Yeah, that wasn't a
Sorry, man.
It's anti-radical rexing there. It was an emotional week. It was my wife's cat before we got married. So the cat had really just been with her since a kitten and had just been through so many like personal journeys with my wife. And of course, I've gotten to be in the cat's life for the last 4 years, 3.5 to 4 years now. And, you know, it was hard. It was hard and hard because Lindsay was really hurt and was crying for her. And, you know, I've never had to put an animal down before. So it was quite a sad experience to do.
It's very tough, especially like, you know, like it's kind of like the responsibility of like the person, like, unless you're getting cremated, like it's the responsibility of like us to like bury the pet. And that's the hardest thing. Cause like you're putting in so much like physical strain and, you know, you're especially like we had to bury our last cat that passed in the dead of winter. And it was hard to get through the ground cause it was, you know, frozen but you know, it was just like, you know, you have to do that. And it's like a, you know, paying your respects to the loved ones and the memories that they've given us, you know, and give them a good resting place.
Yeah.
It's just really special. I totally get where you're coming from there. It's not an easy time for sure.
Yeah. It's weird. Just like walking around the house and like knowing where she would normally be or like,
I
know she's not here, but like, I sometimes feel like I see something and it makes me visualize her like for a split second.
Yeah.
Like I saw she was black and white. So, and she would always jump on the sink in our vanity sink for water. Mm-hmm. And, there was like a black and white shirt on it, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw it. And I just like, that's exactly where she would have landed and been waiting. And I just like, I don't know. I mean, I know she's not there, but like a split second, like we have another cat and I've seen the other cat, like, and it makes me, I don't know, imagine the other cat that passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah, little things like that. But outside of that, I'm back at work. Things are rolling. It's definitely time to get in shape. I mean, I've already set three.
Yeah.
I've set like two start dates and have failed each time. So I was going to start the new year and then nope, that didn't happen. And then I was like, well, I'll just start when I go back to school. I'm going back to school on Thursday. But then everything with my cat happened. So we went out and got ice cream and ordered. We do what we do when we're depressed. We eat good food. So,
We
got a bunch of pizza and then really like, there's just, I mean, I got a book of excuses for you. I've just got to start it. But, now it's the weekend with the kids and snowed and it's just kind of like, well, I don't start exercising until Monday, so I think I'll just roll out this weekend and then start Monday and finally get this body back in gear. So with all that said, I know we've got a topic to talk about. We Radical Rex a long time. Sorry, folks. It's been a while. It's been a long while since we've done that with them. We don't Radical Rex really during the Mario deep dive episode, so... the topic today, Ryan and I, we really just kind of wanted to take a look back at Nintendo over 2023, and we want to see where we're going to talk about where we think Nintendo is going in 2024. So here we go. Let's take a look back at 2023 first. You know, 2023.
Yeah.
We were not present as a podcast for really over half of it. We've only been here for like the last quarter, if that. And man, stuff did happen while we were gone. Take us through a rundown of some highlights.
The beginning of the year was slower for me, and Nintendo like came out of nowhere with, you know, your Metroid Prime. You know, that's a big highlight for me. Like, you know, Nintendo bringing back things that are just things you didn't think you'd see anytime soon. Like, we were all expecting Metroid Prime 4 to be announced or something, which still hasn't, by the way.
Yeah.
Begin to wonder if it exists even. But, you know, they're digging out some older stuff. They announced some GameCube remasters coming to the Switch, which is cool. We might see some more. Be neat. But it's kind of foreshadowing what we heard earlier in the year. But, you know, Nintendo, I feel like they've been playing it safe, but also, like, giving us a lot of the things that we want.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't think that Nintendo is short on any content whatsoever. Like, you know, we've heard rumors that Metroid Prime remaster was, like, greenlit, like, a couple of years ago, and they're just waiting to release it, you know, sitting in their vault ready to go out whenever they greenlight it. So, you know, we might get 2, we might get 3, you know, just shadow dropped this year, you know.
That would be sweet. I feel like that Prime drop, the first Metroid Prime drop, was kind of like, I don't know. And the progress of their game of 4 coming, it was like the first notch. Like, the first notch has fallen. So it's like a milestone. And then I feel like they're going to drop 2, and then they're going to drop 3. Like, it's going to get closer and closer. And then we get to the big dog that we've been waiting for.
Yeah. I hope it comes soon. Anyway, sorry. I want a Metroid kick right now.
No, yeah. Trust me, I am. I watched this. He's never been on the show, but I like to listen to the Geek Critique, and he has a YouTube channel and Patreon and stuff, and he has done – so he – back like 6 years ago when I first got into podcasting and listening and stuff, he was doing a deep – he played the Metroid series for the first time ever. He had always ignored it, never really got into it, and then he decided to actually like really play it game by game, and at this time – Metroid Dread was not known to the public eyes. As a matter of fact, at the tail end of his videos, Metroid 2 remake had just launched, and so he ended up coming back and doing a remake episode about that. And so he went really deep dive into Metroid, and then every video he did, what I thought was just a masterpiece, and I was so deep and invested into these videos, because they're like, you know, 40 minutes to an hour long. Like, they were really thought out. And then Dread didn't happen. So yeah, at this point, yeah. So he kind of stopped. He covered Prime. He covered all the main 2D games, just the way the franchise was going. And then he came back and he did like a retrospective, where he did a retake comparing his original videos, and he actually like criticized some of his views and takes on what he said in the first ones, which I don't really agree with, honestly. I actually think he did a fantastic job with those first videos, but besides the very first one and last one, those are long, but the in-betweens covering the other games are pretty short, like maybe 10 minutes or so. It's a recap of them. And then he just did Dread, and I that was like an hour and a half, and I watched it. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I mean, honestly, I really was fighting the urge to like not go and restart a new file on Dread after watching that
video. Yeah.
Because I'm like, I got all these new games. I need to play new stuff, not a game I've already beaten twice, you know. But it really, really made me just crave some Metroid, man. I mean, I love that series. And if you guys haven't seen those videos, go watch the Geek Critique on his Metroid takes. They're fantastic, but I'm itching for Metroid.
Yeah. So it gets back on our path for 2023, or the first half anyway.
Yeah, that was all the Metroid we had.
We had Dragon Ball Kakarot released on the Switch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which was pretty cool. Something that Jacob was really hoping would come to the Switch. And now he's got a PS5. It doesn't even matter. So he can get it anywhere. But, you know, there's the Digimon World game that I wanted to come to Switch. Tales of Symphonia, one of my all-time favorite games, came to Switch. So it's like, I've been averaging about all-time favorite game a year coming onto the Switch, like port, like randomly. So that's been pretty cool. And it wasn't the greatest port, but it was still the game. Like, you got to enjoy it. You know, you got Metroid Prime, of course, and then Xenoblade Chronicles 3 came out, big one. Yeah. You know, and of course the DLC and stuff for that. You had a Kirby's Return to Dreamland kind of port. It was a Wii port. So
I'm glad they're doing those ports. Right. Those games. Wow, forgot about that one.
And we saw Fatal Frame make a comeback with another entry. So Nintendo's keeping that going. And there's that that Cereza game for Bayonetta. It was supposed to be pretty good standalone. Like it's I don't know, it's a different flavor from what Bayonetta is, and a lot more of the I guess modest version of Bayonetta from what I hear.
More of a kid version.
You know, and then moving in, I'm kind of looking into April. There was a couple of games here that, like, with the Advance Wars 1 and 2 finally released after the whole war thing happened, you know, or it was happening, you know, the developing. They delayed that. But then they also brought, like, a Mega Man Battle Network collection over. So we saw a lot of collections and ports and remakes in that first half of the year. And, of course, May was the big one. Tears of the Kingdom came out. And the release schedule that month was pretty bare for a lot of games because that was a big one. Like, no one wanted to be in the same window as the Tears of the Kingdom. And that took up a lot of our time. Even then, June, there wasn't a whole lot coming out of June.
No. Well, that they definitely got away with that game. I mean, that game was so massive, so they could afford to do that.
Yeah. Really, July is when things started coming back in. You know, Nintendo even continued with their schedule. They released Pikmin 4, you know, Hogwarts Legacy came out in July. So we had some like DLC stuff here or there. You know, season passes were released. Sparks of Hope, Bat and Kaidos was released for the GameCube remaster, done by a third party, but still it's something that did come out.
Pikmin 4.
And we got we got a couple of like those farming simulators like Fae Farm that came out. And that time, of course, the Disney Dreamlight Valley. And then we've got Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which, of course, just wrapped up. They finished up that stuff. So that's just in the first half of the year. They kept us pretty busy a lot with, like, just keeping us updated on current content and re-releases. And that's really a good place to be in the beginning of the year. Not a lot of new exciting things like announced, but something to keep up, you know, to keep us interested, you know, like this year we've got, you know, we got a port coming of Mario versus Donkey Kong. You know, we've got a new IP with Peach. It's a new experimental like Peach game. And there's some other things here or there, that we're seeing kind of those similar things. You know, perhaps the Kirby's Return to Dreamland, if it's that Mario versus Donkey Kong slot, you know, kind of that parallel there. But we don't know a lot about what the bigger games are going to be other than, like, you know, we're going to sit on a good RPG with Mario RPG. You know, we have Mario RPG and then we have, you know, Mario's, I guess, probably in the same slot this next year is probably going to be the Thousand Year Door.
Yeah, I think that's going to come early in the year, though. Like, that's not going to... I think that's going to be like around March or April or something like that.
Okay. And that would be great. Like, I'm excited to play that because I've been trying to get a hold of a copy to play it. And my disc on my Wii U or my Wii wasn't going to play the GameCube games. So I've been like, what would I do?
Don't you have my copy?
I still have it. Yeah, I do. I sure do. If you want to get back to it before, like, go ahead. But
No, I'm totally saving it for the actual game. Okay.
So let's kind of, I guess, is there anything you want to talk about in the first half there?
I mean, I think you kind of covered most of the year of all the games that came out of 2023. But I would like to talk about maybe Nintendo's directs and their directions that they took as a whole. Like, obviously, we're not breaking the individuals down. I think because we're getting close to direct season again, it's February. Almost once we hit February, all the rumors are going to freaking roll out. Like, everyone knows what is happening, and they really don't. But we should get a Nintendo Direct probably the first part of this year here soon, the Winter Direct. And if things continue to go the normal trend. I think last year, though, like, wasn't there a Direct that pretty much was just farm simulators, like almost 90% of it?
It may have been just something like an indie direct or something. Maybe it was kind of a combination of directs. Because, like, I know February is when they have their start of year direct for Nintendo. So it could have been that February one.
Prime dropped day and date when they did that. They shadow dropped it. That was, like, mind-blowing.
It was, like, digital, and then, like 2 weeks later, you could get the physical. So I double-dipped for sure.
I should have, because my son lost my card anyways, and now I need to buy the digital. But, yeah,
they still have physical in store.
I know they do. I know they do. It's just a matter.
You don't want to lose it again?
Well, I just, you know, I mean, I already lost it once, and I don't know. It's $40 for a game that I just played, and I mean, I know I'll want it again. I'm just kind of like, waiting until, I don't know, I feel like I can afford to just drop $40 on a random game that I technically already beat just recently. So, I mean, direct-wise, we got a direct, and I think we get about annual, like, three big directs a year now. It kind of feels like start, middle, end.
Yeah, it's about that, yeah. Mid-year to keep us going, and then the end of the year wrap up with some teasers to the new stuff.
Sometimes they have indies, and sometimes they have, like, maybe a special look at a game stuff. But in general, the three big directs we had, and I mean, we had more than just directs to flush us out through the year. I mean, Mario hit the theaters this year at the kind of like the start of the year almost, right? Wasn't that in March or something like that?
Maybe. I don't remember exactly. I don't remember exactly. I think it was a little later than March, but oh man, was it so cool to see Mario on the big screen. And like, that was just part of a multi Nintendo initiative. You know, they brought out their park in the States. They're working on that, or they rolled out their Japan one. They announced a Donkey Kong expansion for the Japan one, and they're doing their multimedia where they have theme parks and they have movies, and you know, they announced a new Zelda movie that's going to be coming live action, and just a lot of really cool things to look forward to. That's more than just video games for Nintendo, which is great. You know, they've always had like, you know, paraphernalia. It'd be cool if we got some like obscure IP, like paraphernalia, like shirts and keychains and things. About April, like, it'd be 5th. Cool if we got some of those. But
April 5th.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, Nintendo has just they're in the atmosphere of pop culture, like not just as a video game anymore. The movies did well. Zelda got announced for a live action Zelda. You know, we also, like you said, the theme parks, they're really pushing the Donkey Kong addition to the theme parks that have already existed. It's been in the works, and that's supposed to launch in Japan this year. And I think the Orlando version of Hollywood Studios or whatever is finally building their Nintendo section. So, and that's going to open up in the near future, which will be great. You know, the other one's in California. So, and it'll be bigger. Everything that's in like Florida state is, they're bigger parks than the California ones, correct?
Yes. I'm
pretty sure they are.
As general rule, Disneyland and the parks there are smaller than what's in the world.
Yeah.
So as a general rule, that's usually the case where you have it bigger in the Florida region than you do over there. I don't know if it's just cost is a little bit more effective or if there's just not as much land available. I'm not sure.
Probably less land in California is what I would assume. I could be totally wrong. I don't know. But so Nintendo was just in the atmosphere, and they really stayed in everyone's mind, whether it was through video games or not. And at the end of the day, it's what their initiative was way back. I mean, Iwata was saying that they wanted their IPs to be in everything else to bring people back to buying their games more. And I think the strategy so far is working as long as those other products are executed well. But I will say one big thing that happened this year, which really kind of killed it officially, in my opinion, was Nintendo was signed up to be a part of E3's digital events originally, and then they did pull out. And then once they pulled out, everyone else seemed to pull out. And E3 didn't happen, and E3 is now officially dead. I mean, Nintendo,
E3
is not going to come back. I mean, in today's day and age, there's no need for it when companies can save literally thousands of dollars by just doing it themselves. Like, it never made sense. I was honestly surprised why they still did it over the past handful of years, even before 2020, just because of the digital age we live in. And Nintendo pretty much, they started the trend to kill it when they stopped doing live. Remember how everyone said they were
directs?
Yeah, they said they were so dumb. Everyone said they were dumb for not doing stage presence. Nintendo's always this weird people. They're doing their own thing. And then here they go again, setting the trend. And now everyone follows them and copies them and does their own live directs, and
yeah.
Now, you know, everyone's fighting for attention digitally, and I'm sad to see it go. What I'm more sad is that, you know, we really looked forward. I mean, that was like a mid-year Christmas for us as and our friends, as like we got to sit down and talk, and like we would all be off work. We would plan it. We'd get a bunch of garbage food and just watch the direct. Like when we, I think like really the last great direct we did was when they announced Metroid Dread. And I remember just all of us in that room watching it unfold. And it was just mind blowing. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I miss that. I really do miss that. And I finally have a job that's set up to where I'm off in the summers, you know, and it's just like, great. Thank you. Thank you so much. So in the past, it was always a worry or a fear that like my work was not going to let me have this day off. And before that, I was like, Nintendo would always wait like way too long to like announce when they were doing their stuff. I still wish they would just like announce it like, hey, it's at the start of June and like advertise it, make it a big deal, you know, and like, you know, on June 30th, we're having our direct, you know, I wish they would do that. That would be freaking awesome. But yeah, you know, how do you feel about a world without E3 now? I know really, I mean, honestly, it's kind of felt like it's been dead and not around for since COVID, but I mean, how do you feel about it officially being gone?
I've long lost my desire to go to it. And when I lost that desire to go to it, like,
yeah,
I didn't really care too much because, like, we got our content from Nintendo already. You know, I didn't feel like it was necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, would I like to go to a booth and see Nintendo's really awesome sculptures in the world they've created for that theme for that year? Yeah, but, you know, they've got Nintendo's, you know, their in-person event that they started doing, the Nintendo Live or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that they unfortunately had to cancel the one in Japan due to safety reasons. So people were threatening with violence and guns and things like that. So they had to cancel that event and postpone their tournaments and stuff. So, like, you know, it was unfortunate. And I hope we do continue to see Nintendo Live, you know, go and continue to do its thing. You know, whatever this threat thing was, they get it under control or, you know, get it sorted out, so that they can continue on these things. Cause like I would like for us to have things like Space World where we can go to Nintendo specific events and go there and not to pay like absorbent amounts of money just to go see all these other things that we may not care about as much, you know, and just be like exclusively Nintendo, like, and get all the latest stuff and celebrate Nintendo. And that's something that we've been wanting and we wanted to keep happening, is just be able to celebrate Nintendo as a whole, as Nintendo fans, and have an event that we can go to. I think this also speaks to their want to keep multimedia and to, like, you know, you got theme parks, you got events, in-person live events that's exclusive, like the Space World stuff they used to do. Like, I think this is where Nintendo should be. And I like that they're keeping it family focused. But I'm glad that they're continuing this part of it too, the in-person. So there's always a hope that we'll be able to do something in-person Nintendo related in the future. We can plan a trip to go all together and we still have that thing that we can do. I just hope that Nintendo does again announce it, and it's something that we all can participate in, even if we can't drive there or fly there. Like, we can go into a digital event and share in that excitement with everybody.
Yeah, that would be a dream come true one day, honestly. It's really kind of ironic and funny how, like, honestly, when Nintendo's at their weakest, I feel like this camaraderie of coming together and celebrating Nintendo is prioritized by Nintendo, and a lot stronger when Nintendo's not sitting at the top of the hill. Like, they've been at the top of the hill since the Switch. But, like, before that, like, our get-togethers, even this podcast, it was all born out of, like, I remember starting this podcast because I always got sick of the narrative of, oh, Nintendo's sucks. They're just for kids. And they should just go third party and make games for Xbox and PlayStation. And that was the narrative. Like, oh, they're never going to bounce back from the Wii U. They're washed up. And I just got so frustrated with that. And it was looking at their legacy and what they've accomplished really brought us together. And I find that so fun. And when they're at the top, I really feel like the celebration is not focused on by Nintendo themselves, which honestly, I mean, I guess that's the strategy, right? When we're weak, don't forget how good we have been when we're on top. Let's not focus on that. Let's focus on how great we are right now. So I guess it's a positive, you know, that they're doing so great in the world that we don't have to rely on these get-togethers and things of celebrating what we're nostalgic for. But, you know, so overall, I think 2023 was, again, it was a strong year. I think this is a great way to segue into 2024. We wanted to talk about this, what we expect. And 2024, the debate is still the same as what it was going into 2023. Will this be the year Switch successor is announced, shown off? Does it release this year? I know our own group is pretty diverse on what we think will actually happen. But this was the same conversation happening last year too. I remember this happening, and everyone thought 2023, we would see some kind of teaser, some kind of trailer. It didn't happen, and Nintendo proved. The issue is Nintendo keeps, they've done such a great job. I guess such a good issue to have. They've done such a great job at keeping us fed with content. And like you already mentioned, going into 2024, we've already got a slew of games for Switch that is going to keep us eating, you know? And like, it makes you not need a new, feel like you need a new console. Usually at the end of a system's life, it's dry bones, you know, like at the end of the 64, like we got Paper Mario out of the blue, and then that was it. And you're just kind of twiddling your thumbs, waiting for information, waiting for the next console to come and games. And same at the end of every lifespan, that's always happened, except for now. And now it's like we're still eating good, which makes me feel like that. And I'm pretty sure, I think this would be smart, and I would honestly be a bit upset if Nintendo veers away. You know, we talked about how they change with the times and they're getting more advanced. I think it's a bit dumb to like start from scratch and let's just create a whole new system at this point that is just completely different than the old, which is annoyingly sad because like I always loved a new face, a new generation, a new costume for my system. I do love that about the about Nintendo. However, I do feel like in today's day and age, and Apple set the standard, and I think Apple's getting a little stale with their products all look exactly the same year after year. And I'm not saying that this has to stay the same, but I think the concepts should stay the same. I think that Nintendo should Nintendo should never, at least in this era, should never veer away from having some kind of tablet screen that can dock to a television and can be played on the go. I don't think that they should ever veer away from that. I think that the insides of the tablet need to be better high tech. Next generation can do more stuff, but overall, I think it needs to feel the same as how Switch has felt, because I feel like that makes consumers don't feel like they're so out of date. You know, people still have older cell phones. They're not everyone is buying the newest iPhone every year it comes out. And I think it makes it easier. It should make it easier to make games like, I don't know, a lesser ported version of a newer game to the old systems and vice versa. So, I mean, I am no techie, so don't come at me that. But I think that they should continue with that model personally.
You kind of hinted at it though, like, you know, Apple becoming stale. Like, I'm worried that Nintendo will get in this rut and become stale if they don't innovate and go outside of the box. But also, I think they should stay in this pocket where it's portable and, you know, tablet like for now. But what does innovation look like for Switch in the future, for Nintendo in the future? What are we going to see? You know, are we going to go into AR and VR and,
I don't think Nintendo will do, honestly, Ryan, I think VR for Nintendo is out of the question for the next 10 to 20 years.
I would say unless they have something like the Wii, where it revolutionized how people game in a gaming space, I don't think they're going to do that. Like, unless they have something that is like, it works better. Like now we've got shadow imitations, like the Wii U had some movement, like this, the Joy-Cons have some motion, but it was nothing compared to what the Wii could do. The Wii did it perfectly. Even with the Wii Motion Plus, they added onto it. They made it better, but like the Wii had motion down. And so we would need something from Nintendo that would make VR like the perfect immersive experience to feel like you're actually in those worlds. Uh-huh. And I don't think the technology is there. No, but Nintendo also has proved like, hey, they are able to take old tech and experimental tech and put it in their systems, make it affordable, right, and revolutionize the industry. So I think that it's definitely a possibility that we could see that happen. But I want them to continue on the iteration with Switch? Yes. I still want the Switch line of things. What if, you know, Switch is their dedicated console, and then they have a third one that's just the experimental, like with the new ways to experience play. Like, the, instead of having a handheld and a home console, they have a handheld hybrid, you know, or you have a, okay, you're in your living space, you're experiencing these things in a new way. You know, it's a home console, but it's really something different in that you can only get that experience at home, but maybe some way to share it with friends or family. Like, you know, I can see them innovated in some way to make that special in the Nintendo way.
I could see that happening down the line. I certainly don't think the next iteration that we're getting will do that. I
definitely
think
it's not, no,
more of what we have. And what I, you know, I don't even need, like, I want the concept to stay the same, but I just got a new iPhone this year. We switched people and they gave us a new iPhone. What I hate about Apple right now is that, this feels like the same freaking phone I got when it was 2014. And, I know it's faster, whatever. I don't care about that. I do care about it. That's why I get this. But if all they would have to do, it can do the same thing. All they have to do, Ryan, is just, I don't know, give me a clamp down. Let me fold this down like a Game Boy Advance SP. I see the Android phones doing that now, and lots of kids have it. I think it's so awesome, and I would totally get that over this flat, sleek-looking brick phone and get something like that, because I just – it's different, you know? I feel like things need to – every time a Pokemon evolves, it doesn't look like the Pokemon before. It changes into something new, and I feel like with technology – it should do that. Keep the concept and increase the tech. You know, I still want a hybrid type system with Nintendo, but I don't know. Maybe there's a way to get a clamshell Switch thing and it switches open and still connects. Who knows? I don't know. And most likely, if I had to put money down, I think it's going to look the same with better Joy-Con controllers and better insides. That's what I think is going to happen. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Personally, I'd like to get away from the box as much as I can and do AR, where I can do my tasks and stuff with a HUD view, an overlay over my glasses or what have you, like, and be able Apple to do my tasks, thing, play my games. Kind of like the Google Lens or something, but just something a little bit more functional that makes daily tasks where you're not staring at a screen. Like, you have it in your HUD view, and you could like look up your email really quickly, but it's not obstructing your field of view, but you can do things like you're just not going to be glued. You'll have hands free, basically, be able to interact with your phone, whether it's with iMotion or, you know, voice command, whatever. Like, again, there's a lot of technology things that they have to figure out.
It'll get there.
But I'd like to see something like that where we get away from the boxes and, you know, and go into a more seamless experience environments more.
I could see that one day, that being the main system, and then like the substitutes are actual like box style systems where you can purchase a tablet and attach it. And that's how funny will that be if that's like, oh, this is the $150 option here, you know? And I mean, the technology is getting there. You are right. Again, I don't think that's the next iteration. I think that's 20 years from now, honestly. I mean, I'll be in my 50s by then.
I don't know. The technology leaps have been a lot more great lately. So I think we could probably see it in 10 years, if even that.
I mean,
so,
fingers crossed. I think that'd be freaking sweet. We'll see. But, you know, so I could even see Nintendo like creating, like, they still have a Switch type system, and then they have a kind of like how PlayStation's done it. Like, they'll just have an entirely dedicated, like, this is a virtual reality Nintendo system. This is not the same as Switch. I could see that too. But, okay. We've talked about what we think the Switch might be becoming. What about when do you think it's coming? I know we disagree on this. When do you think it's showing off? Does it release this year? Does it not release this year? Is it even shown at all? Or is Nintendo setting themselves up again for another feast of games for Switch, to where they buy themselves another year of I feel like the more they push it off, the more money they save, honestly. So it's like, who knows? So like, what do you think?
You know, Ryan? It's hard to predict what Nintendo's going to do. I see it one of two options. Either they do like they did with the Switch launch and they do their announcements near the end of the year and then do their big reveal launch in, you know, the next, the last end of fiscal year in March or beginning of the first fiscal year, like they did with Breath of the Wild and the Switch. But I also see them like it's their MO to end either on a Kirby game or a Paper Mario game. So if they're doing a 1,000-year door release, you know, it's not uncommon for them to have the new system already out right around the time that is announced or that is finally rolled out. So like, you know, we had Paper Mario come out, but it came out late and our new system was already out or it was almost out. And so like, we're probably going to see something like that, where, you know, this holiday season, we're going to see Switch 2 and it's going to be huge. It'd be a missed opportunity not to do that, hit that window and get all those sales, you know, be the hot item of this year. I think that just makes so much sense to me, that makes so much sense to me, is to go for that window. And it fits with their MO of releasing a good, like an RPG game that might not be as popular, but also like, you've got the new system to look forward to. And it's that game that nobody really picked up because of the end of the life cycle of that particular system. You know, I think that would fit with Nintendo's MO, but also like, you know, the Switch is kind of unprecedented and I don't know exactly what they're planning on doing there, but I am 100% confident that we're going to get an announcement this year. Whether it's early and they do a holiday release or it's later and they do a, you know, March release of in 2025, like I feel like that is what's happening this year.
I'm pretty sold that we will see it 100% this year. Like, I think that is guaranteed. I really do. And I'm just seeing smoke. I'm starting to see smoke online.
Yeah.
Sakurai just confirmed that he's been working on games all this time. You know, everyone kind
of thinks Chris.
Maybe a lot of people are predicting the next Smash, and which is, I know he always says he's done, and then he's back on for the next.
With Miyazaki.
Yeah. So and now they're, you know, there's rumors of a new Mario game in the works. That's supposed to be a big deal. Like, kind of an evolution of 3D Mario like Odyssey was. You know, we had the Donkey Kong rumors of a Donkey Kong game, and this is the Donkey Kong's 30th anniversary year of country. And I really just think I'm seeing smoke. We're starting to see analysts say that they are hearing things about price points. I'm convinced it is going to be shown off this year.
I'll pay whatever, you know.
Oh yeah, I just
Nintendo's
bought
my
PS5. I can
number one in entertainment thing, like
absolutely.
Hobby. Yeah,
I will. Lindsay.
Even if it's not like, even if it has some drawbacks or isn't quite up to that price tag, like I'll still support Nintendo. I'm completely a Nintendo like apologist. It's like my number one like hobby. Like I will go in if there's it's like people who go out and get the latest iPhone because they're a big iPhone or like Apple fan.
Yeah.
Or like get the latest computer. Like that's me for Nintendo. So like no matter the price point, I'm going to be getting it. It's just, you know, got to save up for it and get it when it comes out. I've already started saving, honestly. But
yeah, I'm more than prepared to have to put money down for it. And I honestly, like my wife thinks it's a little silly to I told her, because we didn't know each other. When I told her when the Switch came out, I told her I pre-ordered and I took the entire week off of work. Get the Switch and play it. And she's like, really? She's like, why did you?
That's my vacation.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like this. I said, because I wanted to do it and I love Nintendo. Like that's my baby. So if it comes out and they're in the middle of the year or something like that, that'd be nice. Cause I'm on summer break, but you know, I think we're going to get an announcement for it the first half of the year. I do. I think we're going to get an announcement showing it off. This is my prediction. I'm no insider here, but I think we're going to get an announcement sometime between March and May. I think the E3 era time The E3 zone, even though E3 doesn't exist, we'll call it the digital gaming summer events. I think that's when we get all the looks at what's happening for games coming for it. We get a better look at the system. That's what I think we're on. I think it's going to be a holiday release. I really do. I think it's going to be a holiday release. Nintendo's going to show everybody off at the summer events, and everyone's going to be salivating at the mouth for these new games. Yeah.
That's what I want personally.
Oh, we even had a rumor of there's rumors of the new Final Fantasy, the sequel to the 7 Remake Part 2, that's coming to the next Switch, next Nintendo, and which is just like, again, more smoke. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing.
I'd be happy with that. I wouldn't have to get a PS5, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think you're going to see even with the system, we're going to see a similar formula to the next Nintendo, like we did with Switch. Like, you know how since the Switch was so huge, we finally, all the third party developers finally decided to give us games that they've like held back on for years, and everyone's like, why would this sell? But everything sold like gangbusters, like, you know what I mean, like old Assassin Creeds, I don't know, all the big third party games that never came to Nintendo because of HD and limitations finally came to Switch. I mean, we just got back Batman Arkham Asylum trilogy, you know, things like that. I think that we're going to see the same thing happen, but we're going to get the PS4 and the Xbox One generation games that skipped out on Nintendo. They're going to come to Nintendo now, because I do believe it's going to be that. What's the 4K? It's not 4K, proper 4K, but it's the
DLSS upscaling.
Yeah, the upscaling. Yeah. I think that is going to bring I think that's going to bring a whole library of games that are going to come over to the new Nintendo, and that's going to flood the library again. I do. I think that will be the case. And I think Nintendo will make because I'm seeing it with PS5, Ryan. Like, I just bought Final Fantasy VII, which was originally a PS4 game, but they also have the same version. They have the PS5 version. It's the same game for PS5 coming, but it's upscaled and everything looks better for PS5. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get the same thing for the Switch. I think games will come out natively. Like if there's a new 3D Mario game this holiday season, I think the regular Switch will be able to get that game and play it. But then if you want the better looking, the more beefier defined version, you're going to have to get the new Switch or whatever. I think that's what's going to happen.
Are you now with bigger Switch tech? We're going to be seeing more cartridge space needed, most likely, and we're probably going to see a price hike. Are you okay with $70 games on the new Switch?
I mean, I think I'm not. I mean, will I pay it? Yeah, because I'm a fool. But I'm not okay. I think that the game price rising is. It's getting out of hand. It's going to get to the point where people are not going to pay. I mean, Sony's already talking about raising games up to $80. $80.
Well, I mean, the cost of production and the cost of everything has gone up. Like, you know, groceries, things for living. Like, this is a luxury item. Yes, it helps with some mental health stuff. And yes, it helps, like, you know, in a lot of ways, at recreation and fun and tending to personal mental health care. But at the same time, it is a luxury item. It is something that's just fun.
Yeah.
And so, like, do you think that they're justified in being able to do that? And do you think the price hike is necessary based on the climate and how expensive things are to make nowadays, plus how much they're paying their crews? Like, people are saying that AAA titles or AAA businesses are falling apart. Like, you know, they have to lay off a bunch of people. AAA is starting to get impacted by this current industry where our climate is and where everything's so expensive. Like, we're not going to see so many like big AAA games the way that they used to be because of this. Do we see this whole thing? Like, where are they going to push that off on if they don't push it off on the consumer for pricing? Like, where are they going to get that money when it takes all that dev time? If it takes years and years and, you know, of development and like thousands and thousands of members to produce these AAA games, like, where's that cost going to get picked up later?
I don't know. Maybe they stop making games so massively big. I mean, seriously, like, I got no issue with I've got no issue with playing a game that's 30, 40 hours. I think 30, 40 hours is the perfect game zone. I'm flooded. It takes up a lot of time to play. It's full. You can pack so much meat in that, and you can get a good lengthy story. That used to be the standard. I mean, 30, 40 games is what we used to do for the most part for a lot of the GameCube era and 64 era games. You know, I think that's a sweet spot. And you know what? If they want to make big AAA games, like say the next Spider-Man, whatever, hypothetically, Spider-Man 3, just make it a smaller game. And then look what Final Fantasy VII did. Maybe I ask someone Final Fantasy VII kick, but I'm getting about 30 to 40 hours of gameplay out of this remake, and it's only part one. And now the sequel's coming out, and that's going to be another 30, 40 hours, and that's part two. Divide it up. It's so massive. You can resell them all for $60 a piece, 70 if you want to, if that's become the new normal. And then you're making more money, and you're not, you know, maybe you're not demanding too much out of your teams and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Either that or honestly, and I hate to say it, Ryan, sorry to cut you off. Best Buy just showed that they're getting rid of all their physical media. And it's something that I would have said blasphemy years ago, but in a digital age, just like E3, maybe we are finally getting closer to the time to where it is just a digital download. I mean, I bought Jack for Christmas. He got, instead of buying him some like sweet game I thought he'd love for $60, Christmas morning we booted up the Switch. I let him pick I gave him a $40 price tag, and he bought five games, and they were all super cheap. And he's having way more fun with this like dumb boxing game that I would have never bought him than he would have with like Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
Way more fun. And he goes back to it. And he's like, he's just having a blast, you know, that's what I think that's more of the future. And it's sad to accept, but I really do. I mean, that is a huge way to cut down costs, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Jesse in our nostalgia chat, he said he would like a console that is digital only. And I mean, look,
I wouldn't mind that.
We just talked about it. My Metroid Prime copy is lost. I'm going to rebuy it eventually in just digital format. I mean, because I still have the case and stuff. It's just the carts that's lost. So
yeah, the scary thing is just like, what if the new system comes out and they don't support, you know, the old games? Like, you got to buy them all again, or maybe they won't be available, or you know, what do you do there when you don't have a physical?
Yeah, that's the fear, right? I mean, a digital file should be able to just transfer over in today's day and age. But yeah, that's the fear.
Yeah, and Nintendo said that that's what they're doing with their account sharing, or like their accounts, like Nintendo account is what gets you all your games carried over. Like that's the idea. So it's a security thing, but also like, where does that fit in the grand scheme of what we actually get to have down the road? Like, you know, there was that scare where Sony was pulling all of their, what was it? One of the streaming services was like, I don't know. One of the streaming services, you could like buy digital content and you have those movies, and they were talking about getting rid of that stuff, even though they spent money to get that stuff. Like,
yeah.
And so there was some concerns that they were going to lose that. And Sony walked it back and said, okay, well, you can keep your digital games or digital movies that you've paid for.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know, they were going to take it away.
No, you cannot do that. That's ridiculous. Yeah, that's literally robbing the people of their stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild. I don't know. I mean, the hypotheticals of the future of gaming is kind of scary to think where things could go. You know, I don't want anyone. It's the same idea with Prime. Like, I want my Metroid Prime 4 on my Switch. I don't need to play it right now, even though I would, because I'm kind of on a Metroid kick internally. I don't need to play it right now. I just played it last year. I beat it 100%. It's an amazing game. Why I want to buy it, though, is because it bugs the crap out of me that I can't go boot it up if I wanted to.
Yeah.
I just want to go turn it on because I have it. And if we get to an age in gaming to where it's like I don't want to fear that, oh, the Mario sequel, the new Mario game is about to come out. So Nintendo removed this. Sony does this with their PlayStation Plus stuff, and it ticked me off. Spider-Man 2 came out all year long. When I first bought that, I could play the original Spider-Man game, Miles Morales. My son was having a blast on it. Then he accidentally bought a $70 game of Spider-Man because instead of it being available to play, they just turned it into a purchase click on. He clicked on it like he's a little boy. He clicked on it like he always does. He was 4 at the time, like he always did. Try to play it, and then he accidentally it purchased everything and all the DLC. It's like $780. Like, what the heck was this? Because they took it down. They took the game down because they want you to go buy it because the sequel's coming out, which I think is shady as crap and not consumer friendly. I don't want that.
Right, it's business.
Still, a little boy doesn't know that, you know, like,
yeah.
He's, and he can't even read. Like,
again, they need to be consumer friendly because that's their customer base. They're not making it for themselves to make money. I mean, yeah, but they're making it for the consumer to purchase. And if the consumer is getting screwed out, they're going to lose that business, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So, but as long as people are vocal about it and don't just like, you know, curl over and take it, like, yes, if Nintendo charges something, like gives us a new Switch that doesn't have any new features and it's still like $450 to $500, I'm going to say, hey, I'm not okay with that, you know? So like I say, I will pay anything, but if Nintendo does something that's out of line for the consumer, then I'm not going to support that until that thing is fixed, you know? Like, if Nintendo were to pull something like that.
Yeah, for, you know, no, absolutely. Speak. I agree. Well, I mean, so the episode's starting to get long in the tooth, Ryan. Why don't we just kind of maybe just wrap up with some games you predict might come out releases here, whether it's for the new Switch or not, and then we can just kind of round out the show.
So yeah, things that I think are going to come out, I fully expect us to get, whatever the latest indie darling is on other systems, I expect us to get that. And it's hard to say because anything that we don't get is likely just an indicator that it's going to be destined for the new Switch. So like, you know, it doesn't get announced, so then it'll come out for the new Switch. So it's hard to say at this point, like, oh yeah, it's definitely coming. Okay, say Nintendo is going to be announcing this game coming to a Nintendo console in the next year, which is like the safest thing you can say, really.
You're seeing that in the signs, only to back up everything we've been saying. All the new games that are coming out are leaving off the Switch logo on it. And it's like, oh, PlayStation, Xbox, PC, whatever, Steam. It's like, okay, where's the Nintendo version? Everything's been coming out because of what you just said. I guarantee you they're being told, hush, hush, we're going to let you announce it later in the year when we announce our console.
Yeah, and that's something that they want to announce, like, in a big, you know, reveal trailer. Here's all the games that are coming, you know. They certainly don't want to just, you know, hint that it's going to come to the old system. Like, it's, everything's pointing to new announcement now. Which, awesome. I am ready for the new stuff. But also I could be content just continuing on my Switch. Like, I've got plenty of games to play, and I'm sure there's a lot of games that they could put and port to the Switch, and I'd enjoy the heck out of them still.
For sure.
You know, but I would like to see whatever the new thing is. I don't have a fancy, you know, up to date TV, sitting in my living room ready to go. And so I don't even know if the current TV I have up in the bedroom that I got Draco is going to be up just enough for whatever we have coming up. But, you know, I might have to make another TV purchase in here for the living room or something, but how crazy is that when it's a portable console? But I
keep joking that with my wife, because I got a great TV a few years ago and it's still amazing. Yeah. It's just, we got a bigger house with a bigger mantle, and to me, it looks like a tiny little fish on the wall. And I'm like, no, we need something to match the size of the mantle. We need to go up 10 inches. But she's just like, no, we don't.
No, you can build a frame around it to make it look good, you know.
Yeah,
and who knows, maybe that next house you get, it'll be too big for the mantle, you know. Oh, downgrade.
Bro, I know. Yeah, that'd be my problems. But I kind of already said my games already, but I do think that there is a new Mario, like, Odyssey-like game coming next. It's going to be a 3D Mario game. I don't know if it's going to be the same vein as Mario Odyssey. I hope. I like Sandbox Mario more than any other type of Mario, but everyone loves Galaxy, but it's a fine experience, but I have no desire to ever go back and replay them. I don't like...
Would you do a Galaxy 3?
No. I mean, yes, I'll play it, yes, because it's new. But I don't want a Galaxy 3. I want open sandbox. Let me mess around and be creative with how I achieve things. Galaxy is still like it's a direct linear path on how you do everything. Like, you still, mm-hmm. you beat an enemy, it unlocks this one star that teleports you there. I want the 64 Odyssey feel. So that's just me. But I do think some kind of Mario game is coming like that. And I'll back up what I said. I do think that all those Donkey Kong rumors we have heard in the past are finally going to happen. It's the 25th. It's the 30th anniversary. Is it 30? Yeah. 10, 20, yeah. It's the 30th anniversary of Donkey Kong Country this year. King K. Rool's back. I mean, the rumors with the Mario movie was that, like, Donkey Kong is also like the next thing that they made Donkey Kong be a star of the movie with Mario. They're trying, yeah. And the theme park's releasing. I think this year is the year of Donkey Kong Country. And I do think we see something of that sorts. Heck, man, I would be happy with just a trilogy remake. Oh man.
Yeah.
That would be so beautiful. I would be so happy with that. But, those are the top two games I think for sure will happen this year. This year. Other than that, it's kind of a mystery. We'll see. Any final thoughts? Do you think Switch 2 is coming out this year?
I hope so. I want it to. I want it to come out holiday season. And that feeds into my prediction. Like, I think we're going to get Metroid Prime 4. With that, that would be the launch title.
Yeah, I do agree with that.
Prime 4 if the Switch does come out this year, or the Switch 2 does come out this year, Prime 4 is going to be on that system launch day.
I agree entirely with that. So Prime 4, Donkey Kong Country, new game with King K. Rool, and a new...
Release window, I should say.
Sandbox Mario for the release window. Sign me up any day. That's better than the Switch launch. A million times better. So, Ryan, tell everybody where they can find us, and we'll let them get going.
Sure thing, man. You can always, of course, listen to us on our podcast catchers, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Pandora. We have some limited content on YouTube. You can also find us on Facebook at Nintendo NOS, on our TikTok at Nintendo _NOS, on X Twitter at Nintendo _NOS, Instagram at Nintendo NOSIN. Shoot us an email at NintendoNostalgiaIN@gmail.com. You can also call us on our nostalgia hotline, share your memories, and show us some love at 317-969-5690. I did want to say sorry for anybody we haven't played your phone number or your voicemail on the air. We have a list of ones that we'll need to go back and review after I found out that we weren't getting notifications that we were getting them. So we'll definitely cover those.
Sorry about
those
that.
In a future. And if we do cover some of the ones we had already talked about, hey, we'll get another shout out. So, we'll definitely hope to get that list of voicemails up to date since we haven't had that in a fair few months. So, I think that brings us to the end.
Go call in too. Tell us what you think about our predictions of a new Switch or what you want as well in game wise. So we'd love to
hear. I'd love to hear what you'd like to see and what you think is going to happen with that Switch, with what the new games are this year. Excited.
It's called Super Switch or something like that.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you next week. Later, Preston.
See you later.